I'll give you a couple here. The first multiple choice would be, "Oh, say, can you see ya?"
All right.
The second one would be, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, that ball flies over the wall."
Oh, okay. All right.
They didn't like that one. They didn't like that one.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Eric Bilstad along with Mike Spalding in studio. Thanks to Debbie Lozka for checking the roads, Jack Brown in the newsroom, and of course Pancake Hill with a very special edition of the Pancake Breakfast coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's not Friday, but that don't matter. You still got to eat. So we'll do that before we get out of here at 9 o'clock. Hey, something happened on Tuesday. So there was a special election that took place on Tuesday for a state Senate primary. So this is Alina Taylor's former state Senate seat. So she is now a judge. So two state representatives were running for her spot. Dora Drake, state rep, she won the primary on Tuesday. But something happened that I think you're going to end up seeing more of in the elections to come, and especially in November. Two election observers were removed by police after becoming confrontational. So Glendale police had to arrive at one of their sites. This was the, two observers at the Bavarian Beer House and Good Hope Elementary School polling locations, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The poll workers had issued multiple warnings against them for hovering too closely and disrupting their typical procedures. The rest of the observers were allowed to stay at their polling locations, but these two had to be removed. The observers challenging the ballots, they're from outside Milwaukee County, registered as concerned citizens. And Brian Kennedy, the mayor of Glendale, told the paper that this is a precursor of what we're going to see in November, that we're going to see more and more of that, of these election observers who are almost confrontational and getting in the way. In this case, it got so bad that they had to be removed, and two of them did. So something to keep your eye on. Will that become a bigger issue moving forward? Let's certainly hope not, but it's not something that's new. We've talked about this in the past, about how the poll workers and the election workers are trying to figure out how best to handle what's expected to be a very, very volatile election. 7:15 Sports is sponsored by Holiday Automotive at Highway 23 in Fond du Lac. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Redemption for the crew in the Rockies.
McGill looks in. 2-2 pitch.
Swing and a miss! He struck him out! Trevor McGill with a pair of strikeouts in the ninth. And the Brewers come from behind and take down the Rockies.
That's Len Grindo with the call on the Brewers radio network. That final score, 4-3. The comeback, though, not without some pain and some sacrifice. The Brewers' winning run didn't come by way of a grand slam, a home run, or heck, even a single. It came the old-fashioned way.
2-2 pitch.
And it hit him! It hit Rhys Hoskins!
Yeah, it hit Rhys Hoskins. Sent Bryce Terang home. Bases were loaded there in the ninth. The Brewers and Rockies set to do it all again tonight. Coverage on TMJ starts at 7:05.
And don't forget, today's the last day of voting for All-Stars.
How could you?
Get out and vote!
What do you have, till 11 a.m.?
11 a.m. Central Time. It's Christian Yelich and William Contreras in the running to be starters.
The Milwaukee Bucks coaching staff is set.
Entering his first full season as head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers just finalized one of the most experienced coaching staffs in the NBA.
Dave Yeager is back. Darvin Ham, Greg Buckner will be the three. And then Pete and Rex and the other guys that we had last year will be behind the bench. So, yeah, I love our staff. It may be one of the best staffs I've ever had because we have head coaching experience on the staff with me, and I've always liked that.
At the Frater in the Medical College of Wisconsin Sports Science Center, Dylan Hunter Carter, WTMJ Sports.
Yeah, so they introduced the new rookies yesterday as well. It made me laugh when they're asking these two 19-year-olds, like, so how are you going to help this super veteran team? They're like, oh, well, we'll use our athleticism and... No, you're just going to sit there and keep your mouth shut.
You know what? We're going to ask them that same thing again today.
All right.
Both of them are set to be on Spanning the State with Kristen and Brian at about 2:35 today. You'll hear from your newest Milwaukee Bucks. And hey, Eric, she might not be an Olympian, But dang it, she's an all-star. Indiana Fever guard Caitlin Clark, among a slew of WNBA players to be named all-stars on Tuesday. Clark led all vote-getters with north of 700,000 votes. Nice. That topped last year's top vote-getter that had 70,000. So WNBA women's sports certainly is in the forefront. For what it's worth, Clark's teammate Aaliyah Boston also made the team, as did Chicago Sky forward Angel Reese. Unique for the NBA or WNBA All-Star Game, it'll be played on July 20th in Phoenix, Arizona. They won't be playing one another. Instead, the WNBA All-Stars will be playing the U.S. Women's National Team, which, too much controversy, Caitlin Clark was left off.
So she will get to play Olympians after all.
Consider it a real-life tryout.
Very nice. 719. Okay, so what's really going to happen at the White House? That story next. So what happens now? President Biden will be in Madison on Friday as he looks to shore up support following last week's debate performance. One of the reports we heard right after the debate was that, okay, one strategy is going to be to get him out there more, get him out in the public more. He's going to be doing a one-on-one exclusive with George Stephanopoulos in the next couple of days. So they want to get him out doing more interviews as they try to shore up support following what happened on Thursday night. It wasn't his best performance when he was debating former President Donald Trump.
What Democrats were saying privately just a few days ago, they are now saying publicly. I've been talking to over a dozen Democrats, and the concern is palpable. It is piercing. There is mounting pressure on President Biden from Democrats who are demanding answers about the president's mental fitness and who are also raising questions about whether he should go on with his campaign.
Now, the Biden campaign is calling those Democrats bedwetters at the moment, but they're not alone. The former president, Barack Obama, appears to be one of those bedwetters. The Washington Post reporting that Obama has privately expressed concern following the debate last week, wondering if perhaps Biden has a path to victory. So today, Mike, we were talking about this. Mike Spaulding in studio. Governor Evers, we do not know if he's going to be among the governors in Washington today meeting with the president, but the commander-in-chief will be discussing some possible strategies with them.
President Biden himself is getting involved in the damage control meeting with Democratic governors, some virtually and some in person here at the White House. He needs their support, so we'll see what they advise him to do, especially since some of them have presidential aspirations of their own.
So like we said, President Biden will be here on Friday. I'm sorry, in Madison on Friday. Senator Tammy Baldwin will not be there. Mm-hmm. Just too much campaigning on her own, says her campaign. Although usually you try to coalesce when the president's in town.
Yeah, it's kind of a drop ball. But you know what? I'm not saying it's not a big deal when a president comes to town. They have been here a lot lately. It's like every other week someone from the administration coming.
And then there's RFK. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's running as an independent, is looking to siphon votes away from Biden. He talked about his prospects with WTMJ's Libby Collins.
Will you be on the ballot in all 50 states, including Wisconsin?
Yes, I will be. We started, Wisconsin was a late opener, and it just started this week. And we've been, I think yesterday was the first day, and we've been on the ground there, and we will have all of our signatures. We are already have enough signatures to get on the ballot in more than half the states. And by the end of this month, we will have enough signatures to get on the ballot in every state.
So RFK Jr. is the guest on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. with Libby Collins right here on WTMJ. Another thing to note, we talked about this yesterday. So former President Donald Trump, after the Supreme Court ruling on Monday about immunity, his lawyers went back to New York. And we're pushing to delay his hush money sentence, which is supposed to take place next week, just days before the RNC right here in Milwaukee. Well, another win for Trump. That sentencing hearing has been delayed.
It's a really significant political development because sentencing was scheduled to take place on July 11th, just days before the Republican National Convention was set to begin in Milwaukee, still set to begin in the coming weeks. And you now have sentencing set for September. If it ever happens, as the judge wrote, he said he's still going to see how this plays out at the federal level.
That's CBS correspondent Robert Costa there. So you remember a simpler time when a misspeak or a gaffe was like the big story for 2 weeks?
Yes, you stumble over like a city name or a town name or something like that. It's a big deal.
Something that McCain would say to a supporter, or something Obama would accidentally say while on the campaign trail, became news for several weeks. Now it's this. Jeff Levern joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45. So Sweden is launching a groundbreaking new law that allows paid parental leave for grandparents.
Parents in Sweden currently get some 16 months paid parental leave, most of that based on their full salary. Now they can sign over as much as 3 months of that leave to allow grandparents to step in too. 50 years after Sweden became the first country to grant parental leave to fathers as well as mothers, it's once again blazing a new intergenerational trail. The U.S., by the way, is the world's only industrialized country without a national paid maternity leave policy. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
You know what, though? They're going to find that with grandparents being younger all the time and grandparents working later in life all the time, that you are going to see more and more companies doing this type of thing. It won't be a law per se, but you're going to see more companies offer grandparents parental leave because of the children they are taking care of. It's already happening, and you're only going to see it more.
Yeah, I mean, more. Sure, I guess you will.
Yes, it won't be a law.
But I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, less people are using childcare services, right?
Have
grandparents their kids be watched.
So this is going to be the new thing, another way to attract that market, those demographics that work hard, that have done well for these companies. They're going to try to keep those grandparents around, so they will offer leave. Gonna happen. News sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk, heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WDTMJ. I'm always such a big fan of this time of year when there's a holiday and we get numbers thrown at us.
This is going to be the busiest and biggest July 4th in terms of travel that we've ever seen.
AAA predicts 71 million Americans will travel over the 4th of July holiday.
Nearly 71 million people traveling the whole week.
I don't even know what that number means. How many?
An estimated 71 million Americans.
Right. Got it. So 71 million Americans will be on the road, some of them in the air as well this holiday weekend, so be prepared for that. Hey, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, going to dissect some of those numbers, but also want to share with you a fascinating, I shouldn't call it fascinating because I was involved in it, but a story that John and I did about the beginning of the country, about the birth of the country, July 4th, the original one. I did it with John Mercure like 10 plus years ago. And it's amazing by what we said in that piece and what we learned in that piece to how connected it is to what's happening right now in our country. So I want to bring that to you. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour, plus much more on what happened yesterday in a very tiny election, something at one of the polling sites. We'll dig into that as well. Right now, though, it's 7:44. Gotta get to Brewers 360. Our guy Jeff Levering is next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
A winning hit by pitch. Breece Hoskins getting hit by a pitch in the ninth inning last night. Plated Bryce Terang in the top of the ninth for a 4-3 win for the Brewers. They took on the Colorado Rockies, a come-from-behind win, the 26th such for the Crew this season, that is most in the majors. The two teams play game 3 of a 4-game set tonight. Coverage on WDTMJ gets underway at 7:05.
Brewers 360, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's Friday. That means, I'm sorry, it's Wednesday. Kind of feels like a Friday. It's Wednesday. That means Jeff Levering, voice of the Brewers, joins us on Wisconsin's Morning News. Hey, Jeff.
Good morning. It does feel like a Friday, because tomorrow's a holiday, right?
Hey, how do you come down on the July 4th or the Memorial Day holidays when it comes to baseball? Because whenever I think of any of these holidays, I always think of like day baseball at AmFam or elsewhere, where like there's pageantry there, right? They have the special uniforms on. Are these days you look forward to?
4th of July, definitely. And I think Major League Baseball gets it right, where everybody plays on the 4th of July. May, you still have hockey going on. You still have basketball going on. There's other sports that are, in session, so to speak. And not everybody plays on Memorial Day. That's the weird thing. Everybody plays on the 4th of July. And for me, it's, all right, fireworks, hot dogs, lemonade, day baseball. It's Americana on a plate for me.
Jeff, whenever I'm visiting family for the holidays, my mom always says, I feel sorry for, say, the Dallas Cowboys team because they always play on Thanksgiving. And she, like, as a mom, feels bad that the players don't get to spend time with their families. How do you guys do it? Do you try and get some a little Americana in, a little 4th of July in before first pitch, or how do you handle the holidays?
Well, I've spent so much time working in baseball on holidays that I'm just so desensitized to it at this point.
Right.
Just, okay, well, dad's got to go work or husband's got to go work today. So that's just part of it. So for us, we're on the road. My family is out actually visiting my parents and my sister and my niece. So they're all hanging out and I'm in Denver. So they get to enjoy it. We'll FaceTime and they're just hanging out by the pool and doing their thing. And they'll see some fireworks tonight and we'll just be working baseball games. It's just, that's how we do it. And that's our normal, but that's, we got a night game tomorrow night and then we fly out to Los Angeles for the weekend. We'll see what happens during the day. It's supposed to be nice and warm during the day in Denver. So walk around and see what the day holds.
All right, Levo, I'm going to play a highlight. One of my favorite things about you is your encyclopedic knowledge of everything.
Boy.
So I'm going to play you a random highlight from a Brewers July 4th game. And I'm just curious if you'll be able to pick out the game or not. Here it is.
Okay.
Here's the pitch. Thames drives one right center field. It is back. It is gone. It's a two-homer game for Thames. It's 6-1 Brewers.
Are you trying to get me the year?
I love the year and or the team you played and or whether the Brewers won or lost.
All right, so you're looking at Eric Thames' era, so that's 17, 18, or 19. I'm gonna say that was the 2018 against the Orioles.
It was against the Orioles. It was 2017. You were so close.
Man.
And the Brewers won, by the way.
Yes, they did. There was a crazy play. There was a wild rundown in that game, too. Jimmy Yakabonis, I want to say, was the pitcher. Then Orlando Arcia scored, and it was really, really wild. And I remember an in-game interview that day that I did with Nick Vile, the old bachelor. I'm pretty sure that happened that game, too.
See, of course it did.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, and by the way, I do have a couple of ideas for you for July 4th home run walk-offs or whatnot. I'll give you a couple here. The first multiple choice would be, oh, say, can you see ya?
All right.
Second one would be, oh, beautiful for spacious skies, that ball flies over the wall.
Oh, okay. All right.
They didn't like that one. They didn't like that one.
Or this one would be if maybe like Peralta's pitching or something, stars and strikeouts forever.
Oh, okay.
Instead of stripes.
How do you feel about, baby, she's a firework, it's out of here. Something like that.
Yes, yes, I would really much like that. I look forward to that.
We'll see what we can mix in tomorrow for you.
Happy Independence Day, pal.
All right. Take care, guys. Talk to you next week.
Idea Man.
You've said that you're not a double glove guy, and you know there's been some discrepancy whether or not that's the case.
Innovator.
Good friend and teammate Greg Magic sends me a picture of you double gloving playing pickleball.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
So you're telling me you did not play one point of pickleball double gloving?
I did not. Not two gloves, not
all
one.
All right. Well, that helps me restore my faith in the pickleball community a little bit because I was convinced, you know, that you're out there rocking because your hands are so delicate that you needed to glove up playing pickleball.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Forecast is sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Tausch, of course, sponsored by Kohler Services today. Happy pre-4th of July to you, Mark Tauscher.
Oh, happy pre-4th of July to you guys, too. And what are we thinking? Like, if you go to a barbecue, is it you have to have a dog? What is that have-to thing for you, Eric?
What do you mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah, usually a hot dog, or maybe try to cram 70 of them in quick in 10 minutes, like Jaws.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be honest. If you see a great cheeseburger that's on the grill or a hot dog, you're going to go burger probably, are you not?
That's
like if you're
true.
At a barbecue or a brat. Like, I'm going to – hot dog is probably the last on the list if you're talking about what normal – like just the everyday barbecue is going to look like. I think hot dog's probably ranked at the end, is it not?
It's more of like a – I don't know. You eat that first. Like, you know, maybe it's an appetizer.
Yeah. Honestly, Tal, I don't want to say I'm disappointed with – are you saying you only choose one of the options?
Right.
You're not doing all three? Because my first answer is I'm going all three.
Well, obviously, I'm going to dabble with all, but I'm saying if you see these things, I'm going brat, burger, dog. Like, if I'm ranking it, like, all right, if I'm at a summer cookout, that's the way I'm going. And if I do somehow get full, hot dog's going to be the last on the list. That's typically
that.
Hot dogs, if you have a bunch of Coors Lights and the day kind of gets away from you, and all of a sudden you're 6 hours later and it's still sitting on the grill, you're like, oh, okay, I'll just grab this hot dog as kind of a palate cleanser, if you will.
All right, it's time to play. We got to get to it. Our final Summerfest trivia game. Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
All right. The Wallflowers are coming to Uline. I believe they're here. I just had it in front of me, and now I lost it. I think they're here on Uline on Friday, I want to say. Anyway, the Wallflowers are coming this weekend. The lead singer of the Wallflowers is the son of A, actor Harrison Ford, B, singer Bob Dylan, or C, director Steven Spielberg.
So I don't know, this 3 week period of time where we've done Summerfest trivia, I've shown I don't know a ton about music. I feel very confident it's Dylan's kid. I'm going to say B.
Spalding, you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with him.
This is correct. Very nicely done. Jacob Dylan is the son of Bob Dylan. My favorite was when they first got big way back when. He's like, oh, I don't want to be known as my dad. Yet he took his dad's name. Like Dylan is like their stage
name. Yeah, LeBron James's kid said the same thing.
Yeah,
he
right.
didn't want to be known as his dad. His name is Ronnie.
It's funny how that works out like that. All right, moving on. Amy Grant is coming to Summerfest this weekend. Amy Grant is married to A, country singer Vince Gill, B, metal singer Rob Zombie, or C, actor Harrison Ford.
So I don't know why I'm on it today. That answer's A. Like, I actually think I may have known that before you even gave the choices. I feel very confident it's the country music singer.
Yeah, I'm going to go Vince Gill also.
Very good. Boy, you're going to... Super impressed. All right, moving on to the next one. Okay, AJR is coming to the amphitheater. AJR, this is my 12-year-old's favorite band at the moment. How was AJR discovered? Was it A singing sensation found them on Twitter? B, AJR actually has been very well known for a long time, playing in the Virgin Islands for years. Or C, they were performing in the BART near San Francisco, and Harrison Ford spotted them and mentioned them to Jimmy Fallon.
Well, the run of me knowing actually what you're talking about has run its course, but I have to think it's C. That story sounds very good, and I think it makes sense. I'm going C.
I'm with you, Tausch. Reading the tea leaves here. It's a lot of Harrison Ford talk.
Ah, see?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Harrison Ford had nothing to do with it. The answer is A, singer Sia spotted them on Twitter. They posted their music. She reached out to them, and they actually even got together and met and discussed it. They actually had a conversation about what they could do together and collaborate. Here's what they said.
She responded, we had no idea what to do, and she invited us down to her hotel, and
When she comes out of her hotel room singing I'm Ready, which is first crazy. And then she invites us to brunch, and she's just the most down-to-earth, nice person.
And she got him a manager, and now they're huge, all thanks to Sia.
Well, I still don't, what I don't understand about this is why Harrison Ford was an answer to every question. You kind of forced us, you like subliminally got us to think, one of these has to be Harrison Ford, and you son of a gun, you tricked us.
Well, I'm sorry. All right, happy 4th of July to you, Tausch.
All right, happy 4th, all.